Welcome back to State of the News. I'm Rick Howlett. Well, this week, the University of Louisville announced the recipients of the 2012 Grawemeyer Awards for Music, Psychology, Ideas Improving World Order, and Religion. The awards include a $100,000 cash prize. There's no award for education at this time. The 2012 Grawemeyer for Music will go to Finnish composer Esa-Pekka Salonen for his 2009 piece Violin Concerto. Salonen is the principal conductor and artistic advisor for the Philharmonia Orchestra of London. He wrote the piece at his previous post as music director for the Los Angeles Philharmonic, a position he held for 17 years. Salonen says the composition came easy for him and it required few revisions after he finished it. WFBL's Gabe Bullard talked to Salonen about the work.
The piece starts with what Salonen calls a flickering violin. For the next 30 minutes, it runs through flourishes, somber soundscapes, a dance, more modern sounds, and it ends with a chord that Salonen says is intentionally not reflective of any of the previous music.
When I thought about my life, it kind of became clear that there was a symbolic meaning in this, because I was just finishing my 17-year tenure with the LA Philharmonic, and I was stepping down and starting the next chapter in my life.
Salonen says he hasn't yet decided what he'll do with the $100,000 prize, but he may use it to encourage young people to compose music. Gabe Bullard, WFPL News.
And that's Gabe's report on the 2012 Grawemeyer recipient for music, Esa-Pekka Salonen of Finland. Now we're going to turn it over to Erica Peterson, who spoke to the recipient for the Grawemeyer for Ideas Improving World Order. Erica.
Thanks, Rick. That Grawemeyer was won by Severine Ataser, and she is a political science professor at Barnard College and Columbia University in New York. She wrote a book called The Trouble with the Congo, Local Violence and the Failure of International Peacebuilding. And in this book, she examines all the international resources that went towards peacekeeping in the Congo and how those efforts failed. I talked with her about how the Congo provides a lens to examine systematic problems with the international peacekeeping culture.
The core of my book is trying to understand why violence continues despite the peace process and despite the massive international efforts at trying to build peace. The first part of the answer is that violence continued mostly because of the persistence of local conflict, which remain unaddressed. And when I say local, I really mean at the level of the individual, the family, the clan, the village, the municipality, the district, sometimes the ethnic group. And the second part of my answer is trying to understand why international peace builders have only rarely targeted local conflict and why they have let this local violence continue and escalate and jeopardize everything that was achieved throughout the years. And what I found is that there is an international peace building culture that is shared by members of the United Nations, of various foreign ministries, of many NGOs, and that this peace-building culture precludes international action at the local level.
Ataser goes on to talk about that international peacekeeping culture, which she says is one that dismisses local conflicts as negligible. She says oftentimes outsiders will come into countries like the Congo and look towards things like elections to solve all their problems. But at least some attention should be paid to resolving local conflicts that end up exacerbating violence at the national level. And she also added that the lessons she gathered from peacekeeping in the Congo apply to many other war-torn countries, including Afghanistan and Iraq.
All right. Thank you, Erica. And Devin Katayama, you spoke with the Grawemeyer recipient for psychology.
Yeah, actually two recipients, Leslie Ungerleiter and Mortimer Mishkin. They actually began working together in the 1970s. And in 1982 is when they published their first report. And it had to do with studying the brain's reaction to different visual exercises in primates, which has actually been kind of turned over to humans at this point. But their reports kind of focused on circuits in the human brain and helped construct this roadmap for how information is processed. What they kind of found is these two different pathways that they didn't know were there of electrical circuits that kind of connect and operate and helps us understand what we see and how we remember what we see. Studying the vision can kind of lead to this framework of how everything else in the body kind of works.
So vision is one of the sensory modalities, a major one, that starts it all, but it's just the beginning of all of those things that go on in the brain. And what we are trying to do is put together the information about the circuits that underlie the use of the visual information for cognition, that is a thought process, for learning how to respond to different stimuli, for motivation and emotional responses, for social responses, and so on.
We know that the pathway is important not only for recognizing objects and recognizing what you see, but also for the long-term storage of those object representations.
That's what we are beginning to understand. The wiring diagram, what its source is, what its various targets are, and thereby understanding what goes on in the brain and how we are what we are.
Now, what you heard there was basically they're scraping the surface of the brain. Obviously, the brain is, as Mishkin said, one of the most complex things in our body, and it's just incredible how much we don't know about it. I asked him if he thought we would ever be able to dissect it, and he said there's no way because it's always changing. It's a plastic thing. It's constantly adapting to different things, and my experiences differ from yours. So to try to figure out, they're basically just trying to figure out the roadmap for the brain, and everything that happens within that is kind of our own experiences.
All right. Before we go to our last recipient, I do want to give an update on the Clark Memorial Bridge situation. The Clark is closed this afternoon after a report of a collision with injuries near the Kentucky-Indiana state line, and police and other emergency crews were called about 12:25 this afternoon, a report of a head-on collision between a pickup and a car. Obviously, the bridge is closed because of this accident, and they're trying to get it reopened as soon as possible. Again, the Clark Memorial Bridge closed due to a traffic accident, and the police and officials are on the scene. Now, a University of Pennsylvania professor of history and American social thought is the recipient of the 2012 Grawemeyer Award in Religion. It's presented jointly by U of L and the Louisville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Dr. Barbara Savage is being honored for her book, Your Spirits Walk Beside Us, The Politics of Black Religion, and I spoke with her this week. Well, in the book, you explore the relationship between black religion, as you call it in the title, and political activism, including the civil rights movement. There's been an assumption among many that the church and politics have always been kind of intertwined, but you reveal that that hasn't been the case.
The church and politics have been thought to be intertwined, but in fact, what one sees if you look back in history is that there's always been a great deal of debate and controversy and argument both within the church and outside of black churches about what the public responsibility or the political role of churches ought to be, and a great deal of diversity in terms of the way that people answer that question.
And another long-held assumption, I think, is the idea of the black church, but there are many churches with different political and intellectual leanings, aren't there?
There are, and not to mention denominational differences and theological differences. I'd say regional differences, you know, as well. And all of these, in turn, then affect the way that African American churches interpret or think about a variety of political issues.
Who are some of the historical figures that you study in the book?
Well, I start the book by looking at those black scholars who pioneered the field of African-American religious history. And they include popular figures like W.B. Du Bois and Carter G. Woodson and Benjamin Mays, who were people who also had very prominent public positions in addition to being PhD-trained scholars. And I then bring the story forward and try to look at the ideas about black churches and politics that were held by people who did not have access to formal education in that way, but who were very, very involved in some of these same questions. And that then gets me to folks like Mary McLeod Bethune, a very well-known, perhaps the most well-known black public figure, female figure of the early part of the 20th century, Nannie Helen Burroughs, and then moving into the civil rights movement, it much more prominent names, John Lewis, and Stokely Carmichael and others, who also had very strong views on the relationship between African-American religion and politics. And I think finally, at the end of the book, seeing how this played out actually in the 2008 election with the controversies that erupted between then-Senator Obama and Reverend Jeremiah Wright, his pastor.
What was your reaction upon learning that you will be receiving the Grawemeyer Prize?
Well, I was very surprised and very pleased. It is, to me, I felt that it was a recognition of the power of the history that I had been trying to preserve and to write about in the book. And so I think my first thought was a sort of a vindication of the importance of the lives and the work of the people that I had studied and written about. And so in some way, I feel the prize honors them and honors their work and their lives and their thoughtfulness on these issues.
Dr. Barbara Savage is professor of history and American social thought at the University of Pennsylvania and the recipient of the Grawemeyer Prize for Religion for Your Spirits Walk Beside Us, The Politics of Black Religion. Dr. Savage, congratulations and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And you can hear an extended version of our interview with Dr. Barbara Savage and all of our Grawemeyer interviews at our website, wfpl.org.